bless you. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 235, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need, my Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford. I cry to thee. 1, 2, and 3 of 235.
this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to John, there of the 14th chapter, John 14. But first we read the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, no man cometh unto the Father but through thee, but through the Son. And it is a wonder that we may yet be invited to come unto the Father, because we have been separated from the Father, and because of our own sin, beginning in paradise and continuing even to this very moment, so that we cannot approach unto thee, because thou art holy. And thus we must first come in our confession, the confession of our guilt, the confession of our pollution, of our corruption, of our unholiness, of our unrighteousness. Oh, give us to feel something of it also, that it may not come only out of our mouth and be only in our mind in these moments when we try to approach and to come unto thee, but that it might be in our heart, as we can read it was in the heart of the publican who did smite upon his breast. And when he did come unto thee, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. O Lord, then we can come in no other name but the name of thy beloved Son, in whom that thou art well pleased, who has finished everything perfectly, and who is righteous, and who is holy, and who is perfect and clean in thy most holy sight, and whom thou hast received even to thy right hand, and who does sit in the place of power, and thou hast received his blood as a payment for the sin of thy people, O Lord, that we may be given faith, true faith, to know ourselves and thee, but also that thou mightest reveal thyself, manifest thyself unto us also. And thou sayest thou wilt not manifest thyself to every one, but they that have thy commandments and do them, they are they that do love thee, and they are love of the Father, and they are loved by thee, and thou wilt manifest thyself unto them. O Lord, we cannot do without the manifestation of thyself to us, because without this we are without all hope, and without all expectation, without true hope. Oh, we have so many hopes, Lord, take them all away, that will be false, and that will deceive us when we die. and have to appear before thee and are hoping and leaning upon that which is going to falter in that day, that great and that notable day. Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou now hast the words of eternal life, and thou sittest at the right hand of power in order that thou mayest give unto us what thou hast purchased for thy own people. O Lord, remember us this day when we are gathered again a second time round about thy holy word and everlasting testimony. Oh, that we might receive ears to hear and hearts to understand for the first time or by renewal, even as thou didst open the heart of Lydia, as so that she attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. And Lord, we do not attend. Our hearts are here and there over all the world in love to vanity and dust. O Lord, could it please thee to give to us new hearts and new hearts of flesh, that we may be given understanding hearts, and that we might learn to bow before thee with true tears that are flowing within our hearts of true repentance, of remorse, and of turning, and that we might receive the remission of our sins, and that we may be forgiven our iniquities, and that we may be delivered from them also, from the commission of them, in thought, in our words, and in our deeds, because thou knowest all that our thoughts do go after. Lord, then it is a fountain of corruption that is within us, and we cannot get rid of that fountain. Oh, but the fountain of eternal life that is able to overflow it all, and that it would drown in it, and that it would overcome every evil that is living in our hearts. Oh, put it all away from our desires, that the temptations of the prince of darkness to us and to our children may be put away by thee, and that we may be given desires, longings, holy aspirations in our hearts after the things that are eternal, that are clean, that are holy, that are righteous. O Lord, thou art able to do it. We are not able to do it, but thou art able, for all power is given unto thee in heaven and in earth. And when thou didst promise to send thy Spirit in the days of old, thou art yet the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, remember then especially those that cry to thee in the need of their hearts, and that cannot do it from their own side, from whom everything is stripped away by thee, and that need that everything would come from another side. O Lord, then thou dost become precious in all thy glory and in the revelations of thyself, of thy names and of thy estates and of thy natures and of thy works. O Lord, then it is all so glorious to those who have no might and no ability and no strength and no wisdom and no righteousness within themselves. O Lord, then thou dost become altogether lovely, and the chiefest among 10,000. O, that thou may show it unto us, that thou may come again unto thy old people, who have seen thee, who have believed in thee, and that to say, Lord, oh, give me faith and exercise, and that I might see thee again, and that I might truly believe in thee, and that all that unbelief and may be taken out of my heart. Do look upon all and the needy and the afflicted in this world. There are those that have relatives that have passed away, and thou knowest the sorrows that they do experience. Lord, that thou may bless and sanctify the ways and comfort the hearts, but that thou may give also and the blessing upon it, that there may be a true warning coming unto us, and that may be bringing forth fruit unto life eternal. There are those that do suffer the needs of the body and also of the mind, that may receive treatments in hospitals. Lord, Thou knowest all that takes place, that Thou may bless and sanctify all the means that doctors are using, and that they also may be helped, and that Thy name may receive glory and honor when men may come, and by all these means to the knowledge that we have no continuing city here, that we might learn to seek one to come while it is still a day of grace, because the angels that have fallen away from Thee do not hear any message of hope, but it is coming unto us and unto our children, and we have to give an answer for this, and our place will be lower than theirs in that eternal pit one day. And because of all that is come unto us, oh, give to us to consider and to understand. Oh, give us new hearts, Lord of flesh, and give men also who may bring that word over the length and the breadth of this whole world. Thou knowest Thy servant who may take a call also, Lord, that Thou may remember him, and that Thou may supply for him when he does return from the mission field, and that Thou may give what is necessary in the labors that Thou dost bestow upon him by renewal, and that Thou may give in the midst of us more servants, and not servants of men who will listen to men, and that will listen to the fickleness of men, that what men desire to hear with their natural ears, but that may have Thee as their master, their sender, and that are taught, that are instructed by Thee, and that may go out in faithfulness and in truth to bring warning from Thee, and to bring that everlasting gospel that is to wretched and undone and miserable sinful creatures here below. Oh, look on our rising generation when Thou wilt yet spare this world a little while, as the as Satan is loosed more and more, and all his instruments are upon our youth. Lord, Thou knowest the temptations that are coming unto them. Oh, that Thou wouldst take them, Lord, by heart and by hand. Oh, that Thou may give them wisdom, true wisdom, the fear of God, the beginning thereof, to close their eyes to all that is of the world, and that they may desire to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Oh, that they may give, that Thou may give, that their young hearts may bow in the dust of self-abasement already in the days of their youth, and that they may become subject to Thee, and that Thou wouldst take them for Thine own account, and give also that there may be those that may be useful in this world yet, while it still abides, that they may be fathers and mothers for an upcoming generation, with a tender fear of Thy name in their hearts, to lead those who are tender. And wilt Thou supply for our school in that way also, all that labor therein, and the teachers and administrators and school board, and all that labor for and with and within our school, and that bring our children to and fro. Lord, supply for us all in Thy mercy, and oh, that we might realize the seriousness of our life, and that we carry with us a soul that is traveling to eternity, and that time is short and quickly fleeting away, that it is as a shadow. Oh, that it is as a vapor that comes and disappears, and that that eternal place is awaiting us, an eternal abode where we will remain forever and forever and forever. Oh, that we might haste then. Oh, call us then and take us when we do not hear, as thou didst come into the land of Sodom and did take thine elect, thy lot, by the hand, and to say unto him, flee, flee unto the mountains. Oh, thou didst not allow him to stay for a moment longer, when that fire and brimstone was set to rain upon that wicked land. Oh, help our governors, and give us governors in our lands, also that may fear thee, O Lord. Turn us back again, if it could please thee, give us a little reprieve from all the works of the devil, and work yet, if it could please thee, in these lands wherein thou hast worked in the years that have gone by. Look on us, Lord, look on us as a congregation, help us as a consistory, when tomorrow evening we also hope to meet, that thou may be on our right and on our left, to give wisdom, discretion, and the fear of thy name, and all that we need to lead, and to go before this our flock continually. Wilt thou remember us in this hour, when we are called to bring thy holy word? O Lord, it is not our word, it is thy word, and that we are but an instrument of thee. May we be truly so in this afternoon, as thou hast promised unto us. I have put thy words in thy mouth. Oh, that we are not to say, and that we are but a child and we cannot speak, because thou commandest us to speak anyway. But Lord, we know not. Oh, come then. Come then by thy Spirit, and give us to know what we must speak in this hour. For this one or for that one, a little ground may be that thou hast plowed up, where the seed must fall this hour. A little word from thy holy scriptures, a little word from a psalter that we do sing, a little word that may come out of our mouth. May it be for young or old this hour. One word, Lord, one word from thee, and then we have everything. Oh, we ask it of thee, not deserving it, but looking for the grace that thou dost bestow in thy dear and only begotten Son. Oh, that fountain, and that is open for sin and for uncleanness, that grace that is as wide as the ocean. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 429, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. With all my heart will I record thy praise, O Lord, and exaltation. And what follows? 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 429.
Beloved congregation, when the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, he left his disciples behind him. They would follow him, but they will not follow him immediately. And why not? Because the Lord had given to them work to do. What was that work that the Lord Jesus would have them to do? They were sent by him to preach the gospel to every creature. That is, congregation, a most solemn work. There really is no work in this whole world that can be compared to that work of preaching that gospel of Jesus Christ in its importance, in its magnitude, in its blessedness, and on the effect that it has upon men in the midst of this world. But they were not allowed to go right away. They were not allowed to go just immediately. What did the Lord Jesus say to them? He said that they must wait. He says that they must wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So the Father was going to give them something first before that they were allowed to go forth. And what is that promise? Well, then he speaks about what we have heard read to us in John 14. And we can find a portion of that in the 25th and the 26th verses. John 14, verses 25 and 26. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Thus far the words of our text, wherein we find the Comforter promised. First, who he is, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. So who he is. Second, what he does. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. What he does. The Comforter promised. Who he is and what he does. The Lord Jesus, congregation, on the cross of Calvary cried out, "It is finished." What was finished? That was not vinegar merely, no, but that was his work. That was the work, the particular work that the Lord Jesus was sent into the world to do, that was the work of meriting. That was a payment. It was a payment for sin, for iniquity, for his church. And that was, he said, now paid. It is finished. In what we call sometimes the economy of the covenants, then there is particular work that we see that is of the Father, that the Father does, and particular work that the Son does, and particular work that the Holy Spirit does. Thus they are all one, and yet there are distinctions between them. And it is this work of meriting salvation that is the special work of the Son. But when a doctor, children, will, let me say, purchase medication, he is not finished with that, is he? When he has purchased that medication and he has paid for that medication, if that medication stays with him in that bottle, you say, what good will that medication do for you? Oh, then he is not finished, is he? No, then he still needs to administer, we say. He has to administer that medication. And if he administers the medication to you, then you are going to feel something, aren't you? You may not feel that when he purchases it, but you are going to feel it when he gives it to you. And something is going to happen to you. It is going to happen inside of you. and then you are going to be able to tell of that, right? You are going to say, Mother, Father, I feel so and so, that medication does not agree with me, or I feel so much better because now something is now known by you, something is felt by you. So there is a difference between the doctor purchasing the medication and the doctor giving you that medication. And now that is no different when we speak about your soul. And so there is a distinction. The meriting of Christ, that is one thing, but the application of what Christ has bought, that is another thing. Are they connected to each other? Of course they are connected to each other. But we also have to distinguish them between those two things, that we don't confuse everything and make everything into the same thing. And thus, when that work is applied, then you are also going to feel something. When it takes place in you, you did not feel it when he purchased it. But when that medication will be applied to you, then you are going to be able to tell something about that. You are going to be able to say what is taking place in your heart. And if we may not be able to say exactly everything in order the way it really is. We may have some confusion about that, but that something is happening, you know, you feel. You cannot explain it all maybe, but you know it. And if you don't know anything of that, well, then it is not taking place at all. When Christ came and was coming to the end of his work here below, he began to speak to his disciples about the Holy Spirit. That is the third person in that divine economy. And he also had his work. So in particular, we say that the Father has sought the salvation of his church. The Son has bought the salvation of his church, and the Holy Spirit has wrought salvation in his church. You can remember that, children, right? Sought, bought, and wrought. So those are three things. They are all connected to each other. You cannot separate those things, but they are not all the same either. We must make distinctions between the work of the Father and the work of the Son and the work of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is now he that is administering in the soul of that church. And when Christ said that he would go away from his disciples, then he also said that he would pray the Father, he said, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. So another comforter. And now in our text, he says, which is the Holy Ghost, the other comforter. And thus he is, he says, one that will abide with you, with his church, abiding with his church forever, always, that he will not go away, the same as Christ is going away. What does the Apostle Paul say? He speaks about the body of his church, that it is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That is something to think about, isn't it? If God's children, their body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. That is a solemn thought. How often, people of the Lord, are you not aggrieved to that Spirit? Aggrieved to that Spirit who is dwelling in you. Oh, think when you go here or there and when you have these carnal or vain thoughts. Oh, what a grief that is.
that is a worthy subject for our continual meditation, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Thus, sometimes Christ is said to send the Holy Ghost, and sometimes the Father is said to send the Holy Ghost. And here the Father is said to send the Holy Ghost, but he says, in my name. Thus the working of the Holy Ghost that is to apply the benefits, to apply the benefits that were merited by the Lord Jesus Christ. So that application that is itself a benefit that is flowing out of the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that if the Lord Jesus Christ has not paid for a certain person, then there is no benefit of the application to flow to that person, because the Lord has saved this, reserved this for those whom he has bought. The Arminians say that the Holy Spirit gives that grace of faith to everyone. That is by common grace that we all receive that same grace of faith, and all you need to do now, and you're responsible for that, that is to take that grace that the Lord has given to you, the grace of faith that he has given in your heart, and you are now able to do it. And because you are able to do it, and that is why now you are responsible to do it. Is that what we read in the Word of God? No. We read that it is a gift of God. And when we read that it is a gift of God, we read that it is a special gift of God. That it is not a gift that he is given to everyone. The Lord Jesus says, I pray not for the world, but I pray for them whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. Thus, if he does not pray for the world, then obviously he has not bought the world. Because if he had bought the world, he would pray for the world. For whom he has not bought salvation, he also does not intercede. He does not pray the Father for such. Thus, you cannot separate those two things. Christ died congregation for his elect. He has merited his salvation for his elect. And he has a right now to go to the Father and to say to his Father, I have finish the work that thou hast given me to do. And now to demand of the Father that the Spirit would be sent, I will pray the Father, and he shall send you another comforter. To demand of the Father, it is a demanding intercession based on his own work, that he would give his Spirit in the way of application for his own people. And what does that Spirit do then? Well, that Spirit is delivering the soul from death. That Spirit is not paying the price for the people that they might be justified, but that Spirit is now working in the church. That is the work of sanctification. That Spirit is now regenerating that people. That is all flowing out of that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, sought out by the Father for the elect, merited by the Son for the elect, and applied by the Spirit in the soul of the elect, to take that stony heart out of our flesh and to give us a heart of flesh.
Does that Spirit of the Lord work in your heart? That is now something that we need to look for, isn't it? That is now something that we need to seek for also. Here the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. The true church is in need of comfort. That word is parakletos, or what we would say is paraclete. Paraclete. What is a paraclete? That is like an advocate or an intercession, one who is summoned to the side of. Summoned to the side of. Someone to come and to intercede for me. We call him, so in more general terms, we would say a succorer, or someone to come to help. Someone called there to come, to comfort, to be strong together. Comfort, strong, strong together with that paraclete. Christ, you say, is the advocate of that church of God. We heard that later. He is the paraclete. He is the comforter. That is true. But he says, I will pray the Father, and he will send you another comforter. Does Christ then cease to be the comforter of his church? No, he does not. But Christ says, now there is difference. Difference between two things. That is what is objective and what is subjective. When he says here, another comforter, that not only I am the comforter, but there is now another comforter that he will send unto you. You believe that, young people, that there is a difference between what is objective and what is subjective? What is objective, that is what has taken place, as it were, literally. What is subjective, that is what takes place in our heart. Does something take place in your heart? That what is objective becomes by the Spirit of the Lord subjective. The Lord Jesus ascended into heaven. There he advocates for his church that is in heaven. Where does the Spirit advocate for his church? He advocates for his church within their heart. And thus the Lord Jesus shows himself here that there is a difference between those two things, and that is so necessary. Otherwise, that people have no comfort in their heart, no strength to gather with God. Just think about Pilgrim, Bunyan's Pilgrim in that city of destruction. Oh, you say there was no comfort for him. Oh, he needed greatly that comfort in his heart. And the Lord Jesus is so very concerned about comfort for his people. Is that not a wonder? How often did he not comfort his own disciples and asking his disciples, why are you so fearful? You have little faith. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Oh, the concern of Christ for the comfort for his people. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But now he is going, of course, to go his own way. Everything changes here below. Does your husband pass away? Your father? Your mother? Then they go away from you. Sister-in-law? They go away from you. And then they have spoken unto you in their life. Do you remember the things that they have spoken to you about? Maybe some of them are precious, what they have spoken to you about. These things Have I spoken to you, being yet present with you? Do you speak to one another? Sometimes maybe. Maybe a little bit about the most precious things. Because soon we are not going to have each other anymore. And then maybe we have never spoken to one another about those things that are most precious to us. But the Lord Jesus is going away, and he is going to send unto his people. He promises them another comforter that is going to abide with them forever within their heart. And then he says what that comforter is going to do in our second thought. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So he will teach you all things. Now we heard that the Lord Jesus sent his disciples out that they may preach the gospel to every creature. But they were not allowed to go yet. They had to wait, and they had to wait for the promise of the Father. That was a promise of what? That was a promise of the Holy Ghost. That is what our text is speaking about. And why now did the disciples have to wait for this? Why could they not go out right away? They had done some preaching already within and among the Jewish people under and the Lord Jesus here on this earth. But why were they not allowed to go immediately? And did they have to wait for this promise before that they went out? That was because of their ignorance. Their ignorance. The Lord Jesus said to them, first, you need to be taught. That before that you are taught, before that you are teaching other people, that first you need to be taught yourself. That is why they have to wait. And what kind of teaching do these disciples need? And when they are going to go out to do that work, they need teaching in their soul. They need teaching, direct teaching, that is by the Holy Spirit. We hope in a few weeks to travel to Grand Rapids, where the curatorium is going to meet. And there, from time to time, there are those that do come forth with an attest. That to say that they want to enter into the theological school. And then as a curatorium, we have a very weighty work to do. Why? Because we need to make a judgment. And that is not easy. To make a judgment. And what is that judgment? Yeah. Is this man speaking from something that the Lord has taught him? Is he taught truly by the Holy Ghost? Or does he bring these things perhaps even for himself by mistake, that is coming out of his own heart, that is coming out of his own mind? Is he now taught? You say he will be taught. He will come into the theological school, and there he will be taught for 4 years. Yes, that is true, and that is necessary, that we have a thoroughly educated ministry. But that does not take the place of a much, much more important teaching that the Lord Jesus is speaking about here. And that he would not permit his disciples to go forth to preach unless they had been first instructed with this instruction. So Saul of Tarsus, he was also instructed. He was instructed at the feet of Gamaliel. You say, is that not enough? That was an extremely intelligent man. And he has sat at his feet, and Paul himself was an extremely intelligent man. No. No, that is not enough. No, then the Lord had to break down what was not from him. And then the Lord can use that instruction, certainly, from men. But this instruction that the disciples had to wait for is the instruction that is so necessary for everyone and that is sent out into the ministry. Will you then pray? All that time is now coming up. And then for us it is so difficult because you will sit and you will listen to a man for 30 minutes. And then we have to make a judgment. And that congregation is very, very difficult. And mistakes in these kinds of things are detrimental to the whole church. Because we are but men. And we can make a mistake. And the Lord, we know, makes no mistakes. But will you ask him for his sake? Oh, we see all those young people. And we see all those little children. And they are coming up and they need to be instructed. When we are gone, they need to be instructed by others, by young men who are sent out, who are instructed by that Spirit of the Lord and that are able to discern what is the truth and what is not the truth. He shall teach you all things. Thus we have here proof that there is a difference between the mind knowledge and the heart knowledge. That is not us making this distinction. No, that is the Lord Jesus that is making this distinction. He is saying that the disciples, he has told them many things. They have received these things in their mind. They have not yet had these things brought into their hearts. And therefore now they have to wait. Because there is a great difference in such an instruction, and it will be by that Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you. He shall teach you all things. All things. That is not all the things of this world, because there are so many things in this world that we may come to know. And Solomon says that study, much study, that is a weariness of the flesh. And we can never know it all. There is so much information in the world. All things. No, he is speaking here about spiritual things. He is speaking here about the things that are necessary to know. And you know what he calls them? He calls them all things. All things. He will teach you all things. That is, when we do not know all that worldly knowledge, it is good, much of it not. But without it all, we may know all things. Do you believe that? That all the things that we really need to know are not the things of this world? But they are the things which are taught to us by the Holy Spirit. Not everything of the Lord is for us to know. The Lord Jesus said to his disciples, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath in his own power. That is not for you. But all the things that are necessary for you to know is that word of the Lord a mystery? Oh, are you not able to understand it, boys and girls? Oh, then here we read the Lord says that that Spirit of the Lord will teach. If he may be your teacher, you must ask him that he may be your teacher. Because even when we are young, we can know all things that are necessary for our own soul, that we might die. Let us sing. 415 stanza 2. Unto me, O Lord Jehovah, show thy ways and teach thou me, so that by thy Spirit guided, clearly I thy paths may see. Stanza 2 of Psalter 415. Thank you. things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So why is it necessary that someone or something needs to be brought to our remembrance? That is because we forget it. And forgetting that is actually a consequence of our fall. That has to do with our mind. So there are also effects of the fall upon the mind of man. Maybe we forget it easily because we have not been interested in it. Could that be? Maybe, young people, why that when we come home and we are asked, do you remember something? Or that we cannot say anything. You say, well, I was not very interested in it. Well, then we will not certainly be able to remember it. It could be that we are hearing things that we don't want to hear, that we want to push away, because the disciples also did not want to hear everything that the Lord Jesus said when he spoke about his suffering and his death. Then all those things they tried to put out of their memory can be also by negligence, slothfulness, because we are so busy with all the cares that are in this world, fathers and mothers, that we cannot remember those things that we hear. And it may also just be a lack of understanding, because there were so many things that the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, which his disciples did not understand, that they had spoken unto them, being yet present with him, with them. But those things that the Lord Jesus spoke to them about were very, very important. Were very, very important. So that is not very good if they could not remember. They were important for themselves. They are important for their own understanding. They are important for their own comfort. But they were also very important for the ministry with which they were what was being laid upon them. They were to be instruments of inspiration to write the Holy Word of God. You ever think to yourself, how is that possible? That all those things are written in the Word of God, that they remembered all of those things. That's how important that the Lord Jesus says, I'm going to send my Spirit, that you don't have to rely on your own memory, but I will send my Spirit and he will bring all those things back again into your remembrance. And also they had to preach the gospel. Oh, how important then it was that they would remember and remember accurately what the Lord Jesus had said to them while he was present with them. And that is why the Lord provided for their memory. Christ said to his disciples, I have many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all the truth. And the Lord Jesus did indeed say many things that the disciples at that time could not bear. They could not bear them. What does that mean? Why could the disciples not bear the things that the Lord Jesus said? Many of them, because of their carnal lust, that they could not bear it. They could not bear it because it was offensive to them. They were not looking to go down. They were looking to go up and to sit on the right and on the left of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many things to say, but you cannot bear them now. And because of that lust for wrong things, earthly glory, they did not understand. They could not understand it. Does that mean it was not true because they could not understand it? No. It was true. It was all true what he said. There are people, young people, they say, if you cannot understand it, don't believe it. Is that true? You will have children. You say to them, this is true, and that is true, and that is true. And if their child does not understand it, you say, should he question it because he does not understand it? Of course not. Later he will understand it. And now the Lord Jesus also said so many things that they did not understand, that there was no place in their heart to receive, and that is why they could not bear the things that the Lord Jesus said. And thus that seed that can be sometimes sown for many, many years in the midst of a congregation without fruit. Without fruit. Is it without fruit? How long? How long has it been that you have been hearing, listening? And if you are honest before the Lord, must you say it is without fruit? That can be. Is the seed all lost then? Is that in a waste? What has been brought to you since the days of your youth? Because it is without fruit? It is not so. Because later, when that time is ripe, then the Lord is bringing things back. Boys and girls, you listen when your mother and father teach you. And when your catechism instructor teaches you or your teacher at school, you listen and you memorize. You say, it does not profit me. But there are many of God's children that can tell you how that later on, those things that they have learned in their youth are coming back to them. The Spirit of the Lord, He is bringing back again those things into the memory of His people, the apostles. Slowly on, more and more, the Lord is now bringing back unto them as they are able to bear it. This congregation has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with a minister, has nothing to do with his gifts. No, it is, he is an instrument just to bring that seed of that word of God. And there is much seed that is sown that will never bear fruit. Never. Why not? Because the enmity of our heart. That is why. And because the Spirit is under no obligation to change your enmity. No obligation. If you will ask Him to do it, to change the enmity of your heart, you must ask Him to do it out of free and sovereign grace. Because He is not obliged to renew this. to renew this evil disposition and to change me. And so the fault lies with us, and it does not lie with him. Oh, very often, what is the Lord doing? A man is sitting, a boy is sitting, many years under that truth, and he's listening. And then one day, oh, very often in the house of the Lord, yes, but sometimes not even in the house of the Lord. Sometimes when they have gone out of the house of the Lord, then they are meditating in their bed. Then they hear it again. They hear it again, what has been heard from the pulpit, what they have read at the dinner table, what they have heard their father read or their mother read, boys and girls, or their teacher. Then it's coming again, and it's coming into their heart. And it is that Spirit of the Lord that is now taking that word and bringing it into their heart. When is he doing that? Oh, he does it when that heart is sufficiently prepared to receive that word. So it was in the life of those disciples. When would that Spirit come? After suffering, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension into heaven. Not beforehand, no, afterwards. Then the Spirit of the Lord is bringing all things to their remembrance whatsoever he had said unto them. And he is opening that word and giving them understanding. Thus the correction, we would say, of their understanding that is following the renewal of their will, of the heart of a man. Not the other way around. Does that mean that the Lord does not work through the mind? Oh, he does work through the mind, because that whole word of God that is brought to rational creatures, it is addressed to men who are rational, the height of the creation of God, not unto the animals, but congregation. The understanding does not cause conversion. We cannot change the will of a man. Kind of change his will just by making him understand. No, that understanding is not following in that way. Or the will is not following the understanding. No, it is just the other way around, because you can teach a man the whole Bible and you don't change his heart. How would you know that, young people? Say that man, he knows the whole Bible and he knows the way that the Lord leads his people, but his heart is not changed. How would you know that his heart is not changed? Well, we read that together. What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, if you have my commandments and you do them, then you are they that love me. Is that not what you see? You see persons that have so much understanding of that word of God, but you see the heart is not changed, because the life is not changed. And the Lord Jesus says, by their fruits ye shall know them. So that when we go on in the world and we can just be in the world, and the world is our life and our heart is in the world, oh, then you say, then it is evident. Then it is evident that heart has not been changed. No, congregation, it is just the opposite. The Spirit renews the will. The Spirit comes into your heart. He gives you, boys and girls,
a new heart. And then he takes away the objections. The objections of the heart. He's clearing those objections away. And when all those objections of our heart are cleared away, oh, then the understanding. Then the understanding is enlightened by the Lord. The disciples could not understand the words that the Lord Jesus had spoken unto them while he was present with them. Why not? Because they remained clinging, clinging in their heart. Remember, just before he ascended into heaven, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Was still there. Was still there. And because that was still there, they could not understand in their mind. But now the Lord breaks it all. The Lord breaks it. He takes that all away. And when that is all now taken away, and that heart now bows, it bows under the way of the Lord. When the way of the Lord becomes good unto that people, oh, then that Spirit of the Lord, he is coming to show, to teach them. Then they begin to see the blessedness, the blessed meaning of that Word of God. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. That's not new things. No. They are things that he already said unto them. Maybe in a summary way. Maybe that they are now more minutely, because their understanding is now enlightened. And because their understanding is now enlightened, they can receive more. They can bear it now because their heart has been changed. It has been brought to bow. And now their mind also, their understanding can receive those things in more detail than they could before. So what are those things? What are now those things that the Spirit of the Lord is bringing to the memory? Not new things. But whatsoever I have said unto you, bringing the Word of God, the Word of God. If we have congregation, revelations, or what we believe are revelations, and it is not the Word of God, then it is not from the Spirit. Because the Spirit of the Lord is bringing things to remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. But that does not mean that that Word of God does not become very new. Very new. Unto this people, when their heart is now prepared, prepared to receive that word of truth, and when that Spirit of the Lord is now enlightening them, oh, we would say when all the barriers are broken down, and then the Spirit of the Lord is coming, and then his word that is becoming so fitting, so suitable, so sweet, then unto such a soul, then it becomes congregation so plain, so plain. You say, I am 60, 70, 80, 90 years old. I've heard that my whole life, and now I heard it for the first time. I heard it for the first time. Maybe you say, why didn't the minister ever preach that before? No. Oh, but now your heart that is prepared to receive it, and that same word is now brought into your heart by that Spirit, and then you receive confidence. Think about those disciples. The confidence that they received beforehand, All those questions. What does this mean? What does that mean? And then that Spirit of the Lord comes. Oh, and they're given understanding. And then Peter, he may speak on the day of Pentecost and the other disciples with great confidence about the meaning of that word of God. And not only plainness and confidence, but also comfort. Comfort. Why? Oh, because, remember, everything had been broken down, right? And when everything is broken down for those disciples, they do not understand it anymore. Oh, then that Spirit is coming. The Paraclete is coming to stand there with them. Oh, to open unto them. What is that advocate in heaven? Oh, he is coming to instruct them and to show them the meaning. No earthly kingdom. No sitting on the right and on the left. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. Oh, they thought it would be sitting on the right and the left. They sought a sitting on that right and on the left. And they hoped for it in a special way when the people, they were crying, Hosanna, and they were bringing him to the throne, bringing him to Jerusalem, and now it is going to happen, and then the Lord Jesus just goes away. And then it was all so disappointing. But what do we read now? These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written of him when he was glorified, and that they had done these things unto him. All that they had tried. And that was all such a disappointment to them at that time. And now, and when that Spirit of the Lord is coming, when all the barriers are broken down, and when they have despaired of all that earthly glory and everything that is to be received here below. And now, the Spirit brings that into remembrance. And what is that for them? Oh, that is a great comfort. What was the comfort? Oh, where is he then? Oh, that he is sitting on that right hand of power. That was the comfort for them. Oh, that comfort that the kingdom is the Lord's. And he is now governor of all the nations. No, not just the nation of the Jews, no. But the nations in all of the world. He is the governor of the whole world. Oh, you can imagine what now comfort that was for those disciples. How they could go forward in confidence. How they could go forward in hope. And then all those earthly aspirations are no more. No, and now they are looking. Oh, they are looking. And their treasure is in heaven, where Christ is sitting at that right hand of the Father. Oh, how the Lord needs to correct his people. To correct his people in all their needs, in all their perplexities, and with all the sin that is living in their hearts. But no, Satan is not going to receive the victory. And sin is not going to have dominion over that people of the Lord, despite everything that they perceive to be in their heart and in this world. Oh, what I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Amen.
O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou so do to us also? Because without it we miss the application. O Lord, something needs to happen within us. That balm of Gilead needs to be applied to those who have wounds. Oh, that thou may work this, Lord, in young and old within us. And wilt thou bless thy word to that end, bring us safely home, care for us in the week to come, help each one in the place thou hast given us in this world, giving us faithfulness, diligence, health, and strength, and thy Holy Spirit, that we may not cleave to all that is perishing, but that our hope may be in heaven. Wilt thou keep us from a sudden and an unprepared death? And wilt thou spare us also from sin and evil? And forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 211, 1, 2, and 3. O God, most holy are thy ways, and who like thee deserves my praise? Thou only doest wondrous things. The whole wide world thy glory sings. Thy outstretched arm thy people saved, though sore distressed and long enslaved. 1, 2, and 3 of 211. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.